Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with Brooke Dooling of Love Warrior Gardens in Svensson and Cecily Stewart of Silverleaf Farm in Nassau, Washington, and with Vicki Bergerson of Waluski Organics in Astoria. Welcome, guys.
Come on, you can say something.
Hi! It is Waluski.
Waluski.
You know.
Yeah. Okay,
Waluski.
Good.
And I think another thing to point out is that you are all beginning farmers. You're all in maybe your first to second year of production. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to have so many new farmers here in the North Coast region. So why don't you guys just start telling us about yourself? Vicki, why don't you just start off and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I grew up mostly here, uh-huh. although I traveled a lot. My dad was a foreman for an industrial company, so we did do a lot of traveling. Went to college, spent 10 years in the Willamette Valley, and came back to family, basically. We had children and decided this is where we needed to be in a small community.
That's great. And so your farm is just outside of Astoria?
Yeah, just basically just right outside city limits.
You're on Highway 202
because
you're
202.
On the way to my farm.
Yeah, but just inside of Waluski Loop.
And uh-huh.
That's great.
Yeah. And you're mainly doing greenhouse growing? Or are you growing outside?
Mostly doing greenhouse growing. A hoop house, actually. Like a 3,000 square foot hoop house where I grow actually in the ground. Mm-hmm. So not in pots. And another hot house. And a little bit outside, but the deer mm-hmm. are a huge challenge. So.
And, yeah. and you have a pretty cool tractor. I've heard some about your tractor. Right?
My dad bought me a tractor.
That's so great.
It's there's a dad.
Never too late to live out your childhood.
That's great.
It's so nice. Much fun. Yeah.
What kind of tractor is it?
It is a Montana tractor from Egg Bag Forage Solution, and they are awesome people, I have to say. They're so helpful.
Wonderful.
That's great.
And you're mostly doing a CSA? Is that how you're predominantly a community-supported agriculture, so people signed up for a weekly subscription for food?
Yes, the community supported agriculture. I started off wanting to farm and do that as my way of becoming a member of the farming community. And then I got a little nervous about it, and then I came back to it at the end, and I'm so happy that I did. It's just so cool to like meet the people you're producing for and see like they're so happy to get my produce, and I'm so, you know, it makes me happy that I'm doing it.
So when did your CSA start? So you're already...
I'm doing it. This is my fourth week.
Wow.
I've just passed my fourth week. I'm going into my fifth.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I don't know what made me try to stretch it as far as I could my very first year, but I did. So I'm going from May to the end of October. And so right now we're doing a lot of greens, you know, of course. And
sure.
And
that's one
like
thing
that.
We do really well here.
Yes.
And do you deliver or do you have people pick up or how do you...
I do deliver, and there are a lot of people actually that enjoy the experience of coming out and picking up, and so that's cool, too, because they get to see where their food's coming from, and that's
great.
Fun, too. And I even offer they can go collect their own eggs if they want to.
Oh, that's
nice.
Wonderful.
That's great.
And Brooke, let's hear a little about you.
I grew up in Astoria from age 8 on. And I left to go to college in Connecticut at Wesleyan University and studied environmental philosophy and policy there, which they didn't really offer. I made that up. And then I got back to Oregon as soon as I could after that and ended up realizing I wanted to be a farmer. It was one of the only things I could feel really good about was growing food for my community, and so I went and did an apprenticeship at Sovie Island Organics, and then started a farm with two friends outside of Portland there, like across from Sovie Island, and then needed to start my own thing, and so I had to move home to Astoria where beautiful things like that can happen when you have no money. So
that's so great.
I now live in a little cabin owned by Joe and Iris, who own the Blue Scorcher, and they let me stay there and work on the land. for a very reasonable exchange. So.
And how big is the property there that you're farming?
It's probably a half acre. It's very small, so it's just a garden.
And you've done a lot of work on it, I know. And is your fence done yet? I know you've been in the process of building an elk fence.
I've been building, well, actually, I have helpers who have been building the elk fence. I've somehow worked this well so that people come out every week and work on the fence while I work in the greenhouse. It's almost completed. We mm-hmm. just started putting up the wire this week, so that's good because the deer are definitely out in the yard, and I have most of my stuff that's planted covered in row cover to mm-hmm. keep the deer out, but that's not going to be possible much longer. Mm-hmm. So it'll be done hopefully this week or the next.
And we're really excited because you're going to be one of the new vendors at the River People Farmers Market.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I'm extremely nervous right now because there's nothing to sell yet. But maybe in 3 weeks.
You'll be fine. Where else have you? Now, you were selling last year, I know, a little bit to restaurants.
Yeah, last year I just sold to the Blue Scorcher a little bit. I was doing an herbal medicine program in Portland half the week. And so I couldn't really market what I was growing. And then the deer also took a huge hit. So I was mostly just keeping up my skills last year, mm-hmm. and this year I need to actually market myself a little bit.
Okay.
And so you were selling at a few other markets too, weren't you, on your other farms?
Yeah, I sold at the St. John's Farmers Market in Portland.
That's great.
And then Sovy Island Organics was mostly CSA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you come with a lot of experience.
I have experience, but I'm doing like something that's pretty different from what they do because I'm doing it all hand scale. And I'm doing it pretty much by myself, so.
Okay, so does that mean you don't have a tractor?
Yeah.
I think Brooke is her own tractor.
Me and my friends are my tractor.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a challenge.
Yes.
Well, Cecily, let's hear from you. Let's hear about Silverleaf Farm.
Well, let's see. I grew up in Nassau, Washington, and I've lived away for about 10 years. I just moved back a little over a year ago. I just had wanted to farm for quite a while and was thinking of buying my own land. And then, it turned out that, my family was thinking of subdividing and selling their land. And so I, jumped on that opportunity and, this is just like getting into the second year of growing, just at the beginning here.
How big is the piece of land that you're on?
It's 14 acres, and mm-hmm. I have about half an acre. Last year I tilled 2 acres, and it was way too much space to manage. So go with a little less this year, so it's more like about a half acre. I don't have a tractor either, but I've hired other people to till it for me, mm-hmm. and now just going into beds that I have had mulched from last year and hand working them.
Now, do you have hoop houses? Or?
I have one greenhouse that's it's like 12 by 36 on the side of my barn. We just built like a lean-to sort of thing off of the side uh-huh. of it. I really want more. Definitely would like to have more greenhouse space. Yeah.
It's this spring and last spring too, right?
Once you start growing in this climate, you start to really, really appreciate greenhouses and hoop houses and that whole. I suppose the difference, greenhouses and hoop houses, a greenhouse technically is something, a glass house. And hoop houses are the sort of polytunnels that you see a lot. But I think a lot of people use the words interchangeably, so...
Well, mine's not either because it's not glass, but it's also not a hoop, you know, it's a wood frame,
uh-huh.
but
is
with
it polycarbonate?
Plastic.
Yeah.
It has the polycarbonate on the roof and then mm-hmm. the sides are the UV coated, mm-hmm. I forget what you call
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah. But. What kind of things are you growing?
A whole variety of different things. My intention was to do a CSA as well, and I kind of like dove into that, excited about it, and then... decided to wait a little bit on it, and mm-hmm. I'm glad I did because last year I mostly had
a lot of cabbages and broccoli. And,
all good things.
Yeah, yeah, so I don't, people wouldn't have had much variety in their boxes.
And you too are going to be a vendor at the River People Farmers Market.
Yeah, that market, and also the one that's starting up in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. I just started working with another farmer who also lives in Nacelle, Fred Johnson, Fred's homegrown. So we're going to be doing a booth together. We've been doing one for the last couple weeks at the Long Beach market, and that's really in my favor right now because he has a lot of greenhouse space, and therefore he has some stuff already, whereas I grew all my starts in the greenhouse, but then it's outdoors, I don't really have too much yet.
Now, are your farms close together, yours and
Fred? Yeah, we're pretty close. We're probably about less than 4 miles from each other.
Oh, that's really
nice.
That's
nice. So it's easier to work collaboratively.
Yeah, yeah, it's been going really well. I'm really appreciating working with them.
I know one of the frustrations that I know Brooke and I have talked about is that our farms seem technically close to one another where I am out on 202, except that there's a hill in between us and there's no quick way to get from one to another. And it's hard when you're trying to build that small farm community when our farms are all so far apart to share and help each other out and go see each other and check out what each other's doing.
So I'm really curious, are you all what we call organic farmers or practicing organic methods in your farming?
Is anyone going for certification?
Yeah.
I am not planning to go to certification at Waleski Organics. I just feel like at a community level that there's a degree of trust there that we have to have with each other, and that a label can't replace that, honestly. I don't feel like we even know what goes on at a large farm after the inspector leaves. And I don't feel it's necessary.
I actually think we're pretty lucky here on the coast. I don't know anybody here on the coast that's certified organic, mainly because of that. I mean, we really do get a chance to know our farmers, and I think that's really special thing here.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys? Are either of you thinking about organic certification? I know you used to work for a certified organic farm, Brooke. So.
Yeah, it actually wasn't certified while
I worked there. Oh, really?
They were in compliance with all certification, and they got certified the year after I left. But I generally just practice organically and don't use the title because it's not supposed to be used,
right.
But I still identify as an organic farmer. I don't even know how pesticides or herbicides work. It just, it's my hoe, me and my hoe out there. So,
I had thought about before I had started, came back out here, mm-hmm. that pursuing the certification, but there's just so many other things to take care of that I just.
And spend money on.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
spend money on,
for
exactly.
someone at our scale.
Yeah.
It is an expensive process, and it does seem like if you build up a good relationship with your customers and can talk about what you're doing, that for most people locally, that seems to be enough. It seems like it's more of an issue if you're really wanting to sell wholesale.
Yeah.
Or, and I've heard it said at farmers markets sometimes if you have a lot of customers that aren't local, for them the organic label may mean something, but locals out here seems to. I mean, are you guys finding that just being local is really what matters?
Yeah, definitely. They trust me. I'm not.
Yeah, they know you.
I'm not trying to slide anything.
I know we were talking.
They've seen me since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I'm going to break in real quick for a station break. I apologize, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and streaming live at coastradio.org. If you are just joining us, we are talking to Cecily from Nacelle and Vicky from Waleski Organics. I got it right this time, Vicky. And Brooke from Love Warrior Gardens. So we're just finishing up talking about organics and why maybe that title isn't something that's quite as important here on the coast as knowing who our farmers are and building that trust and honesty.
It seems so exciting to have such an emerging community of small farmers happening here
women.
On the coast. And all yes. women farmers. And this is awesome. I feel
four women farmers in one room.
I know. It's pretty great. I'm in good company. It feels really good. And I'm just curious, what inspired all of you to take up farming. It's obviously not because you're expecting to make lots of money, and it's hard work. It's a tough job, and you're all young and healthy and smart and educated. And why farming? What spoke to you about that?
Personally, I just this is Cecily. I just think it's the only thing that I could do. Like in my life, where things were going, I just had the feeling of if I don't grow my own food and grow food for other people, then I don't know what else I'd do. Just like it seems like the next step in terms of like localizing things, and I don't know what's going to be happening with oil and being able to ship things in, and so I just don't want to rely on somebody else to do that, so seemed like the logical next step.
So food security, I mean, that's sounds like what you're talking about,
and maybe knowing a little bit about how your food is grown and being able to grow it properly. Does that matter to you guys? Does that feel
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. And giving people a choice, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking about that on the way here, why? And, you know, I always tell everybody it was divine inspiration. Like, seriously, I felt like somebody was talking to me for about a year in my head when I was in a completely different market. I was completely, you know, in, like, interior design type stuff for, like, 8 years. And I just, like, had this little voice telling me. And I started listening, started reading books, and it just got stronger and stronger. And all of a sudden, I'm quitting my job. Yeah. And, and building this giant hoop house. And,
I know.
And it, I felt like I was feeding my soul somehow, yeah, like, that my priorities had finally come back to where they needed to be.
Yeah.
Did any of you have some sort of inspirational figure that played large, somebody that you knew that was farming that, you know, you looked at and you thought, well, you know what, I could do that too? Or did it just, any of that? No?
I had a couple of friends in college who were farming. One of my best friends dropped out of college to go start a farm in upstate New York called Awesome Farm. And I was pretty inspired by that, him just taking the dive and going into a bunch of debt to do something he loved and dropping out of school. That was my...
It is something that you have to be very passionate about. I definitely have found you have to really want to do this and really care about what you're doing. But the rewards are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I found that. I think Well, they, you know, they really... I mean, I know you may not
hard,
think...
It's a hard time of season to
you know, I'm
that.
About, 7 years into this now. So I'm a little bit ahead of you guys, but not much. And I certainly had a similar experience to Vicky of just like... Not, I was working in a commercial photography studio before I started and had that, I think I want to be a farmer. That sounds crazy, but this is what I want to do. And you just kind of learn on the fly and you figure out what you're doing. But it is the most rewarding thing I have ever done in my life. It really is. It's amazing that relationship that you build with people. I mean, how have people responded to what you're doing? What do you hear back from your customers, from the people that you feed? Vicky?
People are excited to be part of something that I feel like that is local, kind of, and that just feels like a part of community. Like I get comments about, it's so exciting to get your recipes. And like I say, this member gave me this recipe and this was really good. And so I shoot everybody an email on it. And I don't know, people are just really liking to be a part of that for some reason.
Well, and that's something we talk about a little bit too. So are you all cooks? I mean... You know, if you grow your things, it's really always wonderful to eat and cook with them, too.
How do you explain what to do with what you grow? Mm-hmm. And that's always a challenge. So maybe you guys can share some of the things you like to do with what you cook. I know Cecily was talking earlier about this infamous recipe out there to do with kale. And I have to say, kale is probably one of the biggest challenges for coastal farmers because it grows in abundance here. It grows so well. And so many people are resistant to eating kale. And I feel like I'm on a personal crusade to try and change people's mind about kale because it's a wonderful vegetable. And maybe this recipe will do it for some people. Cecily, you want to share with us the...
Massaged kale.
Well, you were asking for cooks. I'm a cook at the Blue Scorcher Bakery as my day job. The kale is so delicious. It's one of my favorite things. But often I feel like people don't know how to cook it or just don't like the texture of it. So mm-hmm. the massage kale salad, you take out the ribs of all of it and then you work it in a bowl.
Do you chop it up at all first?
You chop it up and then you put salt on it. And then you just massage it like you're giving someone a massage. And the salt works into the kale and, like, what do you call it? I forget. It
breaks it down and makes it kind of emollient.
It softens it. Mm-hmm. And so I usually put in sesame oil and maybe some toasted sesame seeds, grated carrot, some apple cider vinegar, mm-hmm. and just make it like a salad all mixed up, and I think that that texture is a lot more palatable to
people.
It's not cooked, but
it does have the texture of sort of cooked kale.
It's
more similar to cooked kale.
It's similar to cooked kale, but I don't know. It's very soft, and you still are getting all the enzymes of the raw food.
Well, and kale is one of those, you know, from a nutrition standpoint, it's just an awesome vegetable. So high in calcium. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful vegetable. So it's great, especially if people can eat it and it hasn't been fully, you know, cooked and lots of those things lost.
Yeah.
Have you had kale chips?
I have had those. I don't know if they're my bag, but
I think they're amazing. I did finally make some. And
you
basically chop up the kale into big pieces and then toss it lightly with olive oil.
And sea salt.
And then spread it out on a baking sheet and bake it, 350 for about maybe 15 minutes. And the kale kind of crisps up. And they're chips.
Wow.
And they're,
it's wonderful.
It kind of, I think it sweetens it. It brings out the flavor a bit.
Well, the Italian kale, you know, the lacinato, you can actually do the whole leaves.
As one big leaf?
Yeah. And it's kind of a cool presentation, you know. You've got these. And we were at a meeting one time. Somebody walked in with them, and everybody's munching these wonderful leaves. It was so great. I mean, and they were delicious. They really were. So,
hey, I'm excited about that.
You have to check it out.
Kale is good. What about you, Brooke? How do you like to cook kale? do you like kale?
I like kale. Yeah, I like kale even just raw with like some ume plum vinegar.
Ooh.
But I'm someone who can take my greens pretty hearty. Otherwise, I just like stir fry it with some garlic and olive oil
mm-hmm.
until it's just starting to be soft. And like definitely a little bit of soy sauce or mm-hmm. salt,
something to give a little flavor to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I just, and then soups, it's really good too. Mm-hmm. My mom makes a good kale seaweed soup, and
yum.
What about you, Vicky? What are some of the good recipes you've been passing out to your CSA customers?
Well, I just discovered one, so I'm like kind of excited about it. Chard is another one that grows super good here, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? Chard and spinach too. And uh-huh.
sometimes
you run
a
out
hard
of
sell.
Stuff
yeah.
To do with spinach, and I just ran into somebody who said you've got to make this pesto, and you can use chard and spinach instead, and you don't use basil. And you do a pesto with it. So you have the olive oil, and some people use feta cheese. Other people use, you know, Parmesan cheese. And then you can use pine nuts, but they're expensive. So you can use toasted walnuts or toasted almonds. And you, let's see what it all is. And then salt and garlic. Mm-hmm. And you blender that all up. And it's apparently awesome. And some people do lemon juice in it, too.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've done spinach pesto.
Have
That's
you?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done some kale pesto. It's a little bit less good.
Less good.
Because it's not so creamy.
I can't quite see kale pesto taking off.
I mean, I didn't do it. Someone else gave it to
me
and tried to.
Well, spinach leaves are tender,
yeah,
so that might maybe is more similar to basil.
Yeah, it's tender mm-hmm. and creamy.
Mm-hmm. That yeah. sounds really good.
Yeah. Any other favorite recipes out there?
When I have a lot of carrots, I'll like grate them up and make a carrot salad with maybe some vinegar, like cider vinegar and raisins, and I don't know, fresh dill or just whatever's around.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
mint. It just is a good way for me to eat a lot of carrots. If I have that in the fridge, then I'll like add it to my plates instead of just like, I don't eat carrots that much otherwise.
Now, I know that we ran into you one day and you were pretty excited because you had a rooster in the back of your truck?
Yeah, it was a slaughtered and cleaned rooster.
Yeah, so you just had your first slaughter, right?
I'd slaughtered some birds with my old housemates when they had chickens. But this is my first, like, it was my rooster and it was just me doing it. So
are all of you keeping animals, or is that something that you guys are doing at
all? I just have chickens, that's it. And a kitty cat.
And no more rooster.
Yeah. No more rooster.
Yeah.
And now my hen is broody and I'm she's sitting on unfertilized eggs, so I have to figure out what to do about that.
And do you have animals?
Chickens.
Chickens. Yeah. So do you have chickens too?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, so everybody has chickens.
Yeah.
So we'll see your eggs at the market? Maybe. Cecily and Brooke?
I eat most of my eggs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't have that many chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my members, they get
they part of it. They can choose to do eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many chickens do you have?
I think I'm down to like 26 now. I
started raccoon off with picking like them off?
Raccoon and believe it or not, a hawk.
Wow.
And so dogs depressing. One time because they used to free range all the time. And so things started getting used to the fact they were out there.
Yeah, mine can't free range because there's so many stray dogs around. Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's always a challenge, but they're great for on-farm fertility too. So that's a great reason to have chickens.
Yeah.
So I am so excited that the three of you are out there and farming. It feels like the beginning of a really great and dynamic small farm community here on the North Coast. And keep it up. And we really want to hear more about what you're doing and look forward to seeing you at farmers markets and hearing more about your CSA, Vicki. And
yeah, and I guess I really quick, if people want to get in touch with you, it sounds like, you know, Brooke and Cecily, they'll be able to find you at the River People Farmers Markets on Thursdays starting June 23rd from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And Vicki, where do they find you?
They can email at waluskiorganics@hotmail.com.
Perfect.
Okay. Get in touch. And tell us more about that River People Farmers Market, Kristen.
Well, so we have a new farmers market coming to Astoria. We're really excited. It's featuring a lot of our local producers, two of whom are here. And maybe we'll get you, Vicki, next year, possibly. And we're going to have artisan crafted foods. Sounds like we're going to be seeing some value-added foods from Brooke. And we're, of course, going to have wonderful bread and we're going to have cheese, and I believe
some berry vendors, too.
Some berry vendors, yeah.
And we finally have a location. We're very excited about this. It's going to be in the parking lot of the Astoria Indoor Garden
Supply.
Supply, which is right on 13th. Mm-hmm.
1343 Duane Street, right across from the co-op. And it will be an all-food market. And
Food and flowers.
Yes, all food and flowers. So, okay, we do need to close. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org and can be heard this evening at 8:30 p.m. on KCPB 90.9 FM.